And so he put that record player on the table and he said, there must be an easier way to get performed. And Klemperer was hugely amused. And I think he did one of Eric's things in Europe. I don't know if it was because of this. I doubt that. Anyway, these were some of the conductors who performed him in this time. And of course, all these things were few and far between. And
yes.
There were many, many no's to one yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned One Piece to the Promised Land. This was also composed in 1948 and performed in New York. Maybe you can go into the circumstances around this piece in a little more detail.
Well, that was the famous producer of Job in Paris.
Oh.
Was here at that time. And he was then producer of a great production that was for the benefit of Israel or something of this kind, and it was to be held in Shrine Auditorium. And it was still war and the impact of Hitler and the Nazi horrors and so on. And it was a huge production in which he used parts of Job, the story, you know. And then in between there were Martha Eggert and Jan Kippur, who sang operetta songs, and the whole thing was completely incongruous and rather tragicomic. And Hugo Strelitzer conducted. And for this performance, which had a smaller orchestra than for what Eric had composed, he redid the overture and the Cossack dance and a cradle song that he had composed years before in Vienna, and that somehow fitted there, and several pieces in a smaller orchestration, and then there was also the national anthem of Israel, which was orchestrated by him for this, like an overture. And out of these pieces, he made a suite which he called To the Promised Land.
I see.
And sent it to transcontinental publishers who had the kind of clientele for this kind of thing.
I see. And who still have the piece.
Yeah.
Although it's unpublished.
Yeah.
What were Eric's feelings about this emerging state of Israel?
I really honestly don't know if he had any particular feeling about it. Eric was just completely Viennese, you know. He was so typically Viennese. There was nothing, you know, if you imagined somebody or knew the Viennese type, you know, then you would know that there could be nothing more typical than him. So I think that he was surely in sympathy with it, but it did not mean too much because it was a thing that had no connection with him.
I see. And then finally, in 1948, the Kinderlieder cycle was revived in Los Angeles, and it received a marvelous press and proved the staying power of the cycle. How did that come about? That it was on the evenings on the roof, wasn't it?
Yes. I think it came about through Fritz Zweig, who was he had been conductor of the Berlin Philharmonic and the opera. He is a wonderful musician. And he was somehow connected with that group. They respected him very much, though he is a very conservative person. There's an anecdote about him that when he met Schoenberg, Schoenberg said, how come you're here? Do you already use the train? Fahren mit der Eisenbahn. But he was a very wonderful musician. And he was tremendously fond of Eric. We went, lived very near each other. And he met Eric always on his
walk.
He would walk his little dachshund, and Eric liked to walk after composing to get his, you know, the steam off. And he said that he would propose Eric's songs, the children's songs,